Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Stephen Kaufman. I'm a professor in the Department of Cell Biology, and I've been on this faculty for 26 years, and I represent faculty against the chief. More than 10 years ago, Charlene Tidus stood alone before crowds of sports fans with a simple sign that read, "Indians are people, not mascots." Then and now, that truth is self-evident, and it is non-negotiable, sir. At least I hope it is evident to you, because unfortunately, it has not been as clear to our Board of Trustees. Since that time, our elected student government, as well as a special campus-wide committee convened by the Chancellor to recommend how to make this campus a better place for people of all cultures to study and work, as well as our elected faculty and student senate, all passed resolutions advocating the retirement of Chief Illiniwek. Mountains of testimony have been given. Sadly, all of these democratic exercises enfranchised by the rules that govern this campus have been disregarded by our administration and Board of Trustees. Moreover, the Board and campus administration refused to engage in an independent mediated arbitration of this issue. They summarily dismissed without due process grievances charging racial discrimination. They have refused to include this issue in two self-studies, one conducted by the National Collegiate Athletic Association and the other conducted by the North Central Association of Colleges and Schools pertaining to academic accreditation. And they have fostered an atmosphere of intimidation in many quarters of this campus. However, recently, 13 independent senior academics from other institutions that comprise the North Central accreditation team did review this issue and did meet with both pro and anti-chief advocates. Their report is an unprecedented condemnation of the institutional integrity of this campus. It severely criticized the university administration for their failure to deal with the chief issue in a manner consistent with our statutes, which prohibit invidious discrimination. In other words, they pointed out the contradiction between having a Native American mascot and the educational mission and rules of this university. In response to this condemnation, the board publicly reiterated its firm commitment to maintaining the mascot and then, quote, reaffirmed its commitment to a dialogue, unquote. They reaffirmed their commitment to something they previously refused to discuss. Instead of acting to finally end this form of invidious discrimination, they chose to ask the same old question, hoping that if they controlled the process, they would finally get the answer they sought. And so here we are. Remarkable as it may seem, in response to censure for lack of institutional integrity, the first response of the board was allegedly to break the law by violating the Illinois Open Meetings Act. Since then, they have continued to defy that law. All meetings, including the one selecting you, Judge Garippo, were held unannounced and in secret by persons who have publicly declared their strong position and interest in maintaining the chief. Furthermore, this dialogue process per se clearly violates the statutes of this university, and this is not how we resolve educational issues at this institution. What an astonishing way to confront condemnation of institutional integrity by breaking the law and violating the statutes of the institution. But here we are, sir. The question at hand is whether this process is anything more than a charade or a circus to placate the concerns of the North Central Association accreditation team. Let's have a look at some of the evidence. One, the process to date has been closely managed in secret and has included only those who have publicly declared their pro-chief position. Secondly, tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars have been spent by the board to send out messages directed to specific constituencies who might favor keeping the chief. This includes advertising and personal letters from Mr. Engelbrecht. The source of the letter, Mr. Engelbrecht, has made his position quite clear, and he invited people who feel as deeply as he does to participate in the dialogue. Moreover, who did not receive this personal invitation from Mr. Engelbrecht is equally important. He did not send it to the Council of Deans, releasing them from the intimidation that they have been under for the past 10 years. He did not send it to the university faculty, and he did not send it to Native Americans, either on this campus or anywhere else. Perhaps he isn't interested in knowing how they feel about his honoring them. Thirdly, although tens of thousands of dollars have been used to target audiences the board wanted to reach, Mr. Engelbrecht, President Stuckel, and Provost Herman refused to defray the expenses of Native Americans to come and participate in this intake session today. They denied support to cover the costs of ads and letters to be directed more uniformly, and they denied access to the same mailing lists they use. And fourthly, perhaps the most egregious act by Chancellor Aiken and Mr. Engelbrecht is that they have refused to provide you with the correspondence they have received prior to the initiation of this dialogue. They have set up a dialogue, but are withholding essential evidence from you. What is this information? There are mountains of it, including testimony from dozens of individuals and organizations, local as well as from around the world, organizations concerned with human rights, including Amnesty International, the National Organization of Women, the National NAACP, the Rainbow Coalition, organizations that represent Native Americans nationally, the Minority Opportunities Committee of the NCAA, and all student organizations on this campus that represent people of color. In essence, from anyone who knows discrimination when they see it. They withhold from you the transcript and audio tape of our Senate proceedings, anti-discrimination complaints dismissed without due process, statements by various campus departments condemning the use of the chief, and a host of additional documents. Judge Garippo, I respectfully request, sir, that you advise the Chancellor and Board to forward these documents and an annotated list of them to you without further delay and make that list available to the public. And secondly, that you advise the Board to write the Chancellor, the Provost, the Deans and Directors, inviting their candid input on this issue and guaranteeing them that there will be absolutely no reprisal of any sort should they disagree with the perspective of the Board. Your Honor, there is intimidation at all levels of this campus where this issue is of concern, and that is toxic to the mission of this university, and it is wrong. And perhaps, sir, you can help end this. Judge Garippo, as a scientist, I must say that with the sole exception of conversations with you, there's no data thus far that this process is anything but a charade. I hope I am wrong, but it's up to you to convince us otherwise. I hope that in your deliberations you remember what is self-evident, that Native Americans are people, not mascots, and that there cannot be any compromise of that. It is non-negotiable. In support of the position to retire the chief, I present you with a resolution signed by 793 faculty of this campus. This includes 10 of the 13 prestigious Swanland chairs, 17 additional named chairs, 11 of 15 Jubilee professors of the College of Arts and